Hi, I'm Rami Tshweni, and welcome to Chatting Change, a lively conversation about how to navigate some of life's big change moments with my co-host Nhlakanipho Manqele. In this episode, it's all about breakups. We chat to Mpomo Lebo about the good, the bad, and the ugly of breakups after cohabitation as a couple. What are your rights when it all falls apart? Chatting Change is made just for you by Bright Rock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes.
How are you, Rami?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I've got some issues, but I don't know if I can talk about them as a man.
But, oh, wow. Okay, that's new. Since
when?
Because
apparently men have to be strong.
Apparently.
We can't speak about emotions.
But you're already crying, Inje.
I'm not. I'm holding it in.
Oh, okay. You're not a good holder in. But listen,
yeah.
Awesome is here. Mpomolebo is here. She's going to talk about a lot of things. She is so passionate about counseling families. And what I like about her is that she's seen it all, she's seeing it all.
And she plays many roles.
Yeah, I mean, she's a mom, she's a pastor, she's a counselor, she's an attorney.
Yes,
you know,
she's
so she plays like legal. She's everything. Mm. And obviously, she's a girl who loves to have a lot of fun. But what I like about her is like she encourages people to live their lives to the fullest, to experience things. She is so fearless.
And not to be afraid of her emotions.
Yeah, it's like she walks around with plasters.
Let's find out.
Let's patch you up. Are you hurt here?
Now
you're hurt.
I am now.
Okay, Awesome Mpomolebo is here.
Okay. We spoke about cohabitation at some point, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and I think it would be great to find out what happens when the end of cohabitation happens.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a hard one.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a hard one. In fact, I was in a relationship with someone, and when we broke up, okay, we were not necessarily cohabitating, but we spent a lot of time.
Okay.
We've spent a lot of time together. And we couldn't handle now the separation all of a sudden because it happened so...
The world had merged.
The world ended. And then next thing, we kept lingering on, but not enough to get back together, but also not little to actually just let go of each other. And I think it would have actually been worse had we literally been in each other's space 100% of the time. And I think that's one of the issues that when I was in Paul, that people deal with as a couple, for instance, where like you're at the end of a particular journey. And then after that, then what happens, you know? And you deal a lot with that.
Yep.
Yeah, so tell us. I know you must give us them cozy. We want the proper 411.
We've got our cups and everything ready.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Look, I think for every relationship, there are dynamics, you know. So we can't really say there is a manual. This is how things pan out. Any breakup is traumatic for the couple. And emotions are invested. It's not even about material things.
Yeah.
And I think it just depends on the degree of maturity of the couple. It also has a lot to do with what the couple wanted in the first place, you know, because we don't get involved in anticipation of a breakup.
So it hits you
and there is this fallacy that says when you have been with somebody for, I don't know, 2 years, 15 years, 21 years, you are automatically married.
2 years, 15 years.
That is not true. Until and unless the relationship is formalized, people must understand that you are cohabiting. You are partners. You may be universal partners and you may enter into a universal partnership. Precisely to just deal with the my cup, his investments and stuff like that. And a lot of people, couples, don't know their rights when they are cohabiting. That if you carried yourself in a way that suggests that you were not feeding off each other, but you were feeding one another, you were partners, you were business partners. When the relationship comes to an end, you then sit down. And it is not an antenuptial contract, right? Because with an antenuptial contract, with accrual, the person that whose estate accrued more shares, right?
Oh, yeah.
So with a universal partnership, you come in with what you came in with, right?
And then you leave with what?
And you leave with what you came with. So people need to understand that if we're going to be in business together as cohabitors, we are partners.
Yeah.
It's a legal... It's a legal regime of sorts, and people just walk in and they walk out. It's not necessary to fight when a relationship is over.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. But now, I want to paint another picture. For instance, I meet this guy, this man, a partner, and we get into a relationship, we cohabit, and maybe he is more, he is less, he has achieved far less than I have.
Right.
And I feel that in the 10 years that we've been together, most of what he has acquired or what he has achieved had a lot to do with me being part of that. And maybe it gets to a point where 5 years later, I'm the one who takes a back seat. Maybe the kids are involved. I'm the one who's having kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And now he's the one who's like a go-getter. And he's busy accruing all these things. Okay? And what is the legal implications of that? I feel, because I know a lot of women, they feel like, but I made you. And I'm entitled to, can't I go to court with something like that? And I'm not talking about what the kids will get eventually, because those are his kids, obviously, something legally he's bound. But then what? Where does it leave me as someone who's like, okay, I contributed to to where you are right now, and I feel that I am entitled to a piece of that.
You are entitled to a piece of that.
Why didn't you tell me this, like,
3 years ago? Like I said, you know, initially there is a concept of universal partnership which is recognized in law.
Yes.
So
but people don't know.
People don't know, and people need to. People need to be informed. People need to ask questions. When you get into any relationship, you need. You know, somebody said, don't get into anything without knowing how to exit and what the exit mechanisms are.
Wow.
Okay. But isn't that a bit too clinical?
No, it's not clinical. It's life. Life happens to all of us. And sometimes we go into relationships with our hearts, right? And we pretend that, you know, things don't have shelf lives. Look, things have shelf lives. We just extend them.
You sound so wrong.
We just extend.
You sound so brutal.
Because it is true.
Yeah.
It is true. We don't set out to get married with the...
With the forever in mind.
No. We always do. With the forever in mind.
Yeah.
But we don't want to talk about what happens when the relationship goes belly up. And that
because
is
we
the
think
big,
that we're negative about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we feel like we're bringing negative vibes into the relationship.
No. You know, when I went to a job interview a couple of years ago, and they said, why do you want to work in this environment? It was an arms environment. I said, I believe that we have to prepare for war in terms of peace. Right?
Okay. Wow. All right.
Right. So
I'm just going to take 3 seconds and think about that again.
Yes.
So we're
preparing
for
war.
In terms of peace.
So you don't wait for the actual war to happen to take up arms.
No, you don't want to
be
surprised.
Do you still get to enjoy the peace, though, when you're preparing for war?
Yeah, because I feel like when you're busy preparing for war, then you take away from the peace.
You cannot be caught with your pants down in any situation. Whether it's marriage, whether it's relationship, whatever you want to call it, whether it's at work. You don't go into a job situation without having an exit plan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? You
because
you
of
don't.
Freelance, I didn't know.
Okay. So with relationships as well, people tend to want to think that you're going to be eating strawberries and cream, but they don't want to have the tough conversations of, okay, babes, what happens if one day I wake up and I don't like you anymore? Okay.
Yeah.
Mature people have mature conversations. It's not that you are anticipating the breakup.
Yeah.
But breakups happen.
Yeah.
And in the event that we feel like we don't want to live with one another anymore, and especially when there are kids, what happens? So contracts, that's why we are here, you see.
Yeah.
We need to teach people to draft contracts for everything.
For everything.
And so I
doesn't it feel like you're taking
I would have
the
fight
emotion
of everything.
Away,
like, hey, wait. I know what you did last summer. Yeah, let me look at what my contract says about that.
Yeah.
But now,
what you're doing.
Okay, now we talk about contract, the legal stuff.
Right.
But then there's a whole lot of emotional stuff that happens.
Yeah.
The
and
mental,
I feel like it's taking
a
back seat.
Toll that happens. People get depressed. People get anxiety attacks because some people, they base they base their life so much on what they have, on what we have. It's our relationship. Next thing I wake up, it is not there. I cannot cope. I cannot work. I don't want to wake up the next morning. I don't even care that you left me penniless. You took all your accruals with you and left me hanging high and dry. The effects that has, especially in our society, because nobody prepares for that. That is why with the youth as well, they'll be like, oh no, we are talking about, we are trying to help the youth to not fall pregnant. But nobody is talking about the different ways of contraception, how to get, how to avoid STIs, how to, you know, to basically arm yourself, like you're talking about being armed, to prepare for war. But we always, I think we've, I feel like we're always a reactionary society. And when then we cannot deal with stuff, we hide. We just like, no, make it go away. And then, okay, of course, then others, we pray a lot. We, we pray the problems away.
People like me.
But it seems like you work with contracts, though.
Yeah, so, look, I work with contracts. I'm a pastor for my sins. And
just for you,
just for my sins, I feel like God wanted to sort me out and made me, you know, shut me up a little bit. So we cannot rubbish the fact that, you know, people have got their faith bases and their belief systems. But we have to be realistic as well. A relationship, any relationship that terminates is, it's a major depressive event. Okay, you get down into, look, you have invested yourself, your emotions, your time, your love. You have literally poured yourself into this person. So we need to start having the conversation as a people about how depressing it is for a relationship to end. It's just like, you know, moving into a new job, moving into a new house. It's a whole lot of emotions that are attached there. Because we are emotional beings.
Yes,
we are relational beings. And when the relationship ends, it's the end, it's the death, really, of the emotions. And we need to allow people to be depressed. We need to allow
But then that is not even allowed. You
we
know?
Need to...
I can't be telling people that I'm depressed. They'll be like, oh, please.
Why? Get over
it. Get over
it. I know. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
And I am on my own solo journey to teach people and to encourage people, especially those who pray a lot, to say there are certain things you cannot pray away. There are certain things that you have to go through. And when you are on the other side of going through, you are a mess. And you have to allow yourself. It's not even more about allowing, you know, getting permission from people to tell you that, oh, but you know, if you are a Christian and you love God, you cannot be depressed. That is absolute hogwash. I am a Christian. I am a wife. I'm a mom. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor's wife. I'm an attorney. And I was hectically depressed a few months ago. And I checked myself into a mental clinic. And I don't care. If there is a stigma, then let people wear it. Okay?
The At the end of the day, it's your happiness
The fact remains, we go through stuff. Life happens to the best of us. And we cannot pretend that when you were with somebody for 15 years of your life, and that person is no longer in your life, you are okay. The Lord understands. No, the Lord does not understand. We need to own our mental health
and
state.
Be accountable
and
for
be accountable and surround ourselves with people who will allow us to break down and not come to work and not tell you, oh, but Rami, you are such a strong person.
You can't be like this.
I don't feel like I want to be strong on
at that time.
On that particular moment.
You don't have to be strong.
But now, but let's talk about how our society, and when I mean society, society as a whole, irrespective of race and creed, but then also in culture, because I know that in black culture, people, we don't believe in, we don't believe in people being depressed. We don't believe in people going like, oh, I think I need to go to a mental clinic, check myself out. Because when people are in mental clinic, that means they're loonies, they're crazy. They, like, we're like, ooh, what kind? She's crazy, that one. You know, she went to a mental institution. And now all of a sudden, we judge you like you're not clever, you're not wise, you're so weak. But then how then do we get to... Because you do a lot of social work, you do a lot of counseling, and then also even in and outside of church. So that means you get... you cross a lot of paths with different people. So it's not like you're doing it based on the church view, but you're also doing it like
yeah.
in a wholesome
Based
way.
Life, yeah.
So now, how do we then encourage people, first obviously from the family side, to the extended family, to your society, to the community, to start embracing that it is okay to not be okay,
mm.
and what it is that we can do as a support system
yeah.
to help others who are not okay to actually get there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
let's get over it. Yeah. Men, especially men, yeah. men suffer a lot of depression. But because, you know, men are tough.
Because you have to be strong, man.
Why are you crying?
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we have to allow ourselves to be human first.
Mm.
Yeah.
All these tags and tentacles that people give to us to say, you are the president of this corporation, you are a strong man, those labels need to slowly die out of our language.
Okay.
And secondly, as families, as partners, as society, we need to make mental issues as acceptable,
basic and acceptable.
As going to get a flu jab.
Wow.
Okay.
As going
that
to get
would
a pap smear.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, as it we have to teach ourselves.
It must be normalized.
To normalize things that we have said are abnormal. Because who
yeah.
said it is abnormal to
or
be depressed?
A man to cry.
Yeah.
Who
whatever,
said
yeah.
a man does not need flowers?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we need to relearn and unlearn the things that we
yeah.
have learned over the years and made
that have been
them
drilled
doctrine.
Into us. Yeah.
yeah.
Because they're making us sick.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we have to
True.
Confront them and eject them
yeah.
out of our system.
I grew up in a household filled with females. I had no father figure, so I was raised by females. So being in touch with emotions is something I've never had a problem with.
Yeah.
I remember when we broke up with my wife, girlfriend at the time, now wife, I cried.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
really did. And I cried before I went on stage on theater. And the whole cast,
wow.
yeah, the whole cast was calming
Shame
me
man.
Down. The whole cast was, yeah. And I think in our industry, it was because as artists, we don't mind expressing our
mm-hmm.
emotions. So
yeah.
even the men in the cast had no problems going, listen, bruh, you know, it's okay. Let it out. We know what she meant
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
But the whole thing that we're saying, society doesn't allow that as men.
Yeah, like, how dare you?
It's like they have to accept, oh, you're an artist. Ah, that's why you cried like that. No,
yeah.
I'm a human being.
I'm crying because I'm
yeah,
human.
Yeah, it's
no, because
I'm
dramatic.
Yeah. yeah.
We have to go against the grain. We have to teach our boy children. We have to instill emotion in them. We have to kiss them. I know boys don't like being kissed on the mouth.
Yeah, but we kiss them.
We kiss them.
Yeah.
And we are teaching them and shaping their affection, you know, a bank account.
Yeah.
And their love, because that contributes to their love language.
Yes. They are people before they are men. I always say, I'm a human being before I'm a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
I'm a human being before I'm an attorney. I'm a human being before I'm a mother. Even with my kids, when they say, but you are a mom, I said, but I'm a human being as well. Before I'm your mom, I am human. I got hurt.
And that's where you would start. And
that's
where
you
we
would
should
start.
All start.
And what happens if you're a man and you have daughters?
You're still a
human. You
still
need to have that comfort to actually be able to speak about emotions with your daughters.
Yes. Yeah.
Or your sons.
Yeah. But okay, you're a mom of
three
girls.
Mm.
Wow.
Very strong girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Wow. Well, because they've got a mother like
this. Of course.
This. I mean, hello.
Of course.
And and I know that, you know, they're strong because of the kind of woman that you are. A lot of qualities that they've learned from you.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, even when you speak, whether you're on social media, she's always screaming at everybody on social media. You must follow her. And she is always, because she's a pastor, they always call her, they call her a rebellious pastor because she doesn't speak the so-called expected language of
what a
you have a toothache. Let me tell you what the book of Matthew says about that. No, like you have a toothache, you either gonna go to the dentist or you better put some pill there, something, take a painkiller, you know. And I think that we need people like you, more people like you who are able to touch base with the human element of the society, of the people, then it's easy for us to be like, okay, fine. I am human first.
Mm.
I am not okay today.
Yes.
And I know that I need to go through this so that I can eventually be okay.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you're able to share with the story because we always look at you, power, strength, this woman of valor.
Mm.
Not just the men, women of valor. And then Next thing you'll be like, you know what? I'm actually going to take my time out.
Yeah.
I am depressed.
Yeah.
Sometimes even the counselors need counseling.
True.
And it's amazing that you embrace it so much and you're able to share unashamedly so. And I think that is something that will help us as a society, as a community, as a nation to build towards that, to say it is okay if you are not
to
okay.
Let your emotions yes. be. Yeah.
And thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. I love you.
Love you.
It's amazing. Okay, well, I love you guys too.
But okay, we love you too.
We love you. We love you.
We hope you've enjoyed Chatting Change, made just for you by Bright Rock, the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. For more needs-matched content like Chatting Change, visit changeexchange.co.za.